You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer, and when I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Vinny Iyer, and on Facebook, Vinny Iyer as well. And this is our first off-season podcast of 2018 here. Now, we promised one more roundup show here, and with the holiday there, with New Year's Day, took a little bit of a break, resetting. We'll have the playoff matchups tomorrow. It's always a good time to keep playing fantasy football. We'll have the four wildcard games, so we'll do a matchup Wednesday looking at those. And it's always fun to get in on the action in playoff football wherever you can. And it's a lesser slate of guys in action, but still interesting to watch to see where you can get the most production there. And we'll break down all four of those games on tomorrow's show there for you. It's different spin there as we push everything a little bit back this week. But this version of Roundup now Wednesday is to look at the takeaways from every team at the end of the season. We won't specifically look at the box scores in Week 17. They're a little bit out of whack with a lot of people sitting and all that and injuries and resting players all over the board. But because we had all division games, we can look division by division, team by team there to tell you what we gathered from how season went for a particular team. And we'll start with the AFC East. The Patriots and Jets closed up in their final game. Now, I think the Patriots' takeaway here is that they became a very effective rushing team and not exactly the way we expected. We saw Mike Gillisley, we saw Rex Burkhead, we saw James White. They all had some parts of the season that were successful. They also all had some injuries here, and they all were on the shelf for Week 17 as the Patriots didn't play anybody that was remotely hurt. Deion Lewis, we just thought he was the fourth guy in this backfield, and he just emerged all around. And we thought maybe at most he'd be a scat back type, use him in the open field, not much more than being their primary kickoff returner. But man, they found something. He was super cheap. That's why they kept him, and now we know why. He was just so effective as an all-around back for the Patriots, and just really dominate on the ground, which was the big surprise. He used to be a guy that you could just get an open field and make things happen, but the durability really came through for Lewis. He was a dynamic runner, finished in the red zone as well, which I think surprised some people. So that, to me, is the biggest takeaway. The Patriots, in this crowded backfield, one guy was able to stand out. Injuries do help and all that, and Burkhead, like I said, was a big factor when he was healthy, but Burkhead has had a long history of injuries. Lewis, remember, had that big injury with his leg a few years ago, but he just emerged as a guy that they could rely on the most, maybe just having the most experience as offense, kind of like what Kevin Faulk and Corey Dillon gave them at some point in one package there. So great season for him. Tom Brady, the numbers weren't as big. Part of that was due to Chris Hogan being injured for a lot of the year, Danny Amendola banged up, Brandon Cooks still learning that connection. And this team, I think, is just very strong running going forward. So I think you're going to see more of a balanced offense. You see a lot of Tom Brady to Rob Gronkowski. That still happened here. But more balance, maybe not as explosive as we thought with those wide receivers. So it'll be interesting going forward. But I think you're going to see more of the Brady that we saw kind of in the mid, early in his career when they ran better and he didn't have to put it up all the time. And that's what you kind of saw this year, and as he gets older, that makes sense for sure from a reality and fantasy perspective. On the Jets side of things, not much to see there. I think this could be a completely different team. The one takeaway is that Robbie Anderson is a legitimate wide receiver. He was very good with Josh McCown. I think he's a guy that they'll have to keep going forward. He's a very young guy that has big playability, so he'll be around here for sure. Everything else has been flux. Austin Sferry Jenkins flashed, and then he faded, and then he got hurt. Jermaine Kearse is kind of an older receiver. We know quarterback is going to be a mess and maybe a reboot here. Even McCown returns. I think he could compete with a young quarterback there that could be a franchise guy. And the backfield, Matt Forte ended up being hurt. He was hurt in the middle of the year. Bilal Powell was up and down. Elijah McGuire. So I think it's a very cloudy situation except for Anderson going forward there in 2018. Now, the other game, there was the Bills and Dolphins. We'll break down both sides of that. The Bills' season's not over. They advanced to the playoffs here. They will be taking on the Jaguars on Sunday. So, still not to close on them for reality, but for fantasy-wise, LeSean McCoy, what can you say, plugging along. Unfortunately, had the ankle injury in the end. They're somewhat hopeful he can play against the Jaguars this week, but McCoy kept chugging along. We have to see if that ankle injury, the wear and tear, he's getting older. A lot of volume on McCoy. The wheels could come off. We thought they could come off this year, but he just keeps on going. So we'll see, but definitely no matter what else they do in the Bills offense, McCoy, as long as he comes back healthy from the ankle and as long as he finishes up well here, he's going to be a big part of this offense going forward. So LeSean McCoy, still very much an RB1 with his use in the passing game as well. Just such a dominant force overall in Buffalo. He's just never kind of relented here. Even with the new coaching staff, it was all good for him as well. So McCoy, I expect him to go pretty high next year, but just proceed a little bit with caution because every year he does it with bigger wear and more volume. It's going to make him closer to the end. But for now, you have to treat him as a RB1, unless there's a situation there where the Bills go out and get a younger back. But we've seen guys shuttle in there. We saw they had to go to Mike Tolbert and defensive tackle Kyle Williams. So that tells you how valuable that McCoy has been, especially when they have rotated guys like Jonathan Williams and Carlos Williams, and none of those guys have really been able to take over. That just makes you appreciate McCoy even more. From the other side of things, the Dolphins. Kenny and Drake and Jarvis Landry, it was an ugly, ugly finish to the season. They got involved in a fight near the goal line, both got thrown out. But Kenny and Drake overall established himself as a feature back, made the JHI trade worth it. He's got a lot of upside, obviously, going to next year's third season in the NFL. Didn't really touch the ball as much in his rookie season. Second half, he was very busy, but still a lot of mileage that is available on Drake, and expect he will be a big part of this offense. Jarvis Landry, it didn't matter if Jay Cutler was in there. He still got it going when it's productive, and with Ryan Tannehill expected to come back, Landry is locked in as a wide receiver two that in PPR is really a wide receiver one with how much he gets involved. So it was good to see Landry and Drake kind of pick up this offense. Beyond that, we're not sure what's going to happen. Devontae Parker has just been a big disappointment. Always injured, always unreliable here as a number one type target. He should be on the outside, but Kenny Stills has always had to be there and produce right along with him. So that's going to be the big development here. Is Parker finally going to break through? I'm not so sure, but I know Landry and Drake are not going away, especially if Tannehill's the quarterback. Jay Cutler doesn't look like he's going to come back unless he's guaranteed to be the starter, which I don't see happening here at all. Keep in mind, they played David Fales a lot in this final game against the Bills, so they want to look some more at the future, maybe knowing that Cutler was just a fill-in for 1 year with Tannehill down. So they'll be looking for Tannehill to come back healthy, and I don't think they're going to necessarily change things with the way things are going for Landry and Drake. Let's go to the AFC North here. And the takeaways here as we start with the Ravens-Bengals. This was a terrible game for the Ravens. They started off slow, got going, but before then it was a little tricky to protect the lead. The Bengals hit that 4th-and-12 touchdown to Tyler Boyd. It was all over for the Ravens' season. And when you look at the Ravens, very disappointing in terms of overall production. The passing game, as you expect, was up and down with Mike Wallace and Benjamin Watson having some flashes there for Joe Flacco, but pretty much when he was productive, he spread the ball around a little bit. Wallace And Watson, by default, had to be the guys there because Jeremy Maclin was hurt and not as effective in his first year there. There's better chemistry between Flacco and Wallace. And Watson, just a mess of tight ends with Nick Boyle and Max Williams and all that. He had to be the target, and Danny Woodhead didn't materialize as a weapon until very late because of that hamstring injury that he hurt himself in week one, was really kind of out of it. So the emergence of Alex Collins is the biggest thing we circle here, that Collins did get a high volume here at the end. He is clearly the guy that stands out over Terrence West. And Buck Allen, I know, is still effective as a red zone target. Woodhead still caught some passes, but Collins is definitely the brightest spot of this Ravens offense, and I think he'll get every chance to be kind of a featured workhorse for this team there this season in 2018. They'll reassess a lot of things on offense, but I think Collins is the one thing that they're going to be most pleased about going forward. On the Bengals side of things, you look at A.J. Green. He was A.J. Green. Andy Dalton was his typical up-and-down season, streaky, made some big plays at times, but had some terrible, terrible games, especially early in the season. So Marvin Lewis is returning. That's what we found out yesterday. So that's some helpful piece of news. So there could be a bit of a shakeup with the staff. I know they already made a big change with offensive coordinator early. Went to Bill Lazor. So I'd expect right now they'll probably stick with Lazor. Paul Gunther, there's some rumors that he could be gone as the defensive coordinator, maybe with the John Gruden situation in Oakland developing. So there could be a little bit of change in the Bengals there, but pretty much the same identity, inconsistent team offensively. We'll see Tyler Kroft, if he can hold his job, and Tyler Eifert, oft injured, can return possibly next season. Maybe they'll go to more two tight end stats with Kroft and Eifert on the field, given that their wide receivers have been kind of disappointing beyond A.J. Green. John Ross couldn't even see the field there with the knee injury, the first-round pick, had other injuries as well, had to be shut down later. So this Bengals offense still pretty much a one-receiver group there. When you look at Brandon LaFell and Tyler Boyd, just very blips on the radar here, along with Alex Erickson and Josh Malone. They're just a committee behind Green. So Green is going to be the clear-cut number one. In terms of the backfield, I bet Jeremy Hill will not be returning here. Just end of the season hurt again. Not very effective when he was playing. So Gio Bernard, though, showed that he belonged here. So you could see a Bernard Mixon pretty much straight-up committee here in 2018 because Bernard looked very good coming back from the knee injury. Mixon had his ups and downs, didn't prove to be very durable as a rookie at all. So he did have some moments, and he had some big games when he got the volume. But the way that Bernard played and the way that things may not change offensively with the staff here, I think Bernard and Mixon are more on an even split as we go into 2018. Our next game was the Steelers and the Browns there as they close the season, as we close our look at the AFC North for 2018 regular season. Steelers' backups got it done here. So there was no concern here with Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell. We'll see how they go forward with it in the playoffs. But Antonio Brown didn't play either, of course, because he had the calf injury. But they'll all be probably locked and loaded here for the divisional playoffs. So let's hope they get out of all that healthy. But a good season overall. I think the biggest takeaway there for the Steelers is we were all focused on what Martavis Bryant could do. But Juju Smith-Schuster, the rookie, he started out maybe as a number three, number four receiver working in the slot, but he showed some special abilities. And in this game, he had the kickoff there or touchdown and as well got in the end zone as a receiver for Landry Jones. So this kid is a legit deal here. I think he's going to be a very productive number two here. Antonio Brown's getting a little older, but they needed some other option here to really step up, not just like Bryant, like an occasional deep threat, but somebody who could work inside, be tough, run after the catch, stretch the field when needed, score in the red zone. And Juju Smith-Schuster was outstanding. So very strong rookie season, and you feel good about him being a very young receiver going forward to that he can add to this mix. So you'll have a lot of killer bees, and I know his name has no bees in it at all, but Juju with all the BBs in this offense could be very nice for several years to come. And the Browns, 0-16, it happened. DeShone Kizer, we're pretty sure that he's not going to be a starting quarterback. The positives here, I think, were Duke Johnson Jr., that he looked pretty good here. I know Isaiah Crowell had flashes, but Duke Johnson was very consistent in the backfield as a weapon here for the Browns. And had a strong season. He was maybe the Browns' MVP very easily there on the offense. We'll see if Joe Thomas returns at left tackle, but you look right now that Johnson was the guy that did the most for this offense. Crowell, I expect them to keep this backfield intact. They did have enough good moments here where they like it. So I don't think they're necessarily going to force themselves into going after running back early. I think there could be someone who can compete with them in the later rounds. But Johnson has been so good, I don't know if they need to mess with that as a versatile back. And Crowell is a pretty good power back, so I think you'll see maybe more of a Johnson-led backfield here, assuming those guys are healthy and win their competition of whoever they bring in. And Josh Gordon, that was a great development to see him to be involved. Did have some good moments there for the Browns for sure, even with the shaky quarterback situation, but that's what Gordon had in the previous time as well. He's just that talented of a receiver. So we'll have to see who the Browns pair with him at quarterback. Maybe there's some talk about Baker Mayfield. A lot of other great quarterbacks in the draft there. So I think Gordon, that's great news to hear. So this offense does have some upside when you look at Gordon, Corey Coleman as well, the fellow Baylor product there. So you have something to work with Crowell, Johnson, the two wideouts, David Njoku. So whoever's the quarterback, whether they go the stopgap route again and wait until they can groom the next guy to be the starting quarterback, whether it's an improved Kizer or someone, which I don't see happening, and the most likely scenario being a young quarterback, a rookie that they take in the draft a lot higher with the intention of being a starter, not a raw player, I think this offense has extremely high upside. Speaking of upside, make sure you're listening to Locked On NFL Draft, a show that breaks down the future prospects and gets you ready for what's coming up in April. It's already January, so April's going to be just around the corner, late April in that first round, and we'll find out where all these guys go. We still have to find out who's going into the draft. We know that Josh Allen will be out there. We know Saquon Barkley is going to be an option for sure. We'll see if Sam Darnold joins them in the draft, but you got to keep up with all those news and notes. Know who's going to come into the league offensively, defensively, and Locked On NFL Draft on the Locked On NFL Network is the great show for you for that. Now, as we continue on with the breakdown, the takeaways, the final roundup Monday of the regular season of 2017, now into 18, we go to the AFC South, and we had the Jaguars play the Titans, and the Titans needed to win this game to get in the playoffs. They did that. It was a bit of a grind. The Jaguars did play their regulars. Blake Bortles really struggled here. Leonard Fournette struggled as well. So not the greatest tune-up for the playoff game here, 1 o'clock on Sunday against the Bills at home. But overall, the Jaguars, I think the season is they found a little bit more in the passing game, and the Fournette still didn't really hit the ceiling we expected in the running game. He was banged up a little bit, still learning his way. He's trying to develop himself as a complete back. So I think he's just scratched the surface of what he can do. He's still very good this season in fantasy. If you took him pretty high and expected him to be like an RB1, he did definitely get the workload when healthy. So I think there's some bigger things around the corner for Fournette. In terms of the wide receiver core, we'll have to see how that sets up now with Keelan Cole and D.D. Westbrook in the mix. You have Allen Robinson. They have to make a decision on him. Are they going to bring him back after he got hurt or very early this season with the knee injury? So you got Robinson. You got Allen Hurns as maybe the holdovers. But then you got Westbrook and Cole coming on strong. So we're going to watch this passing game in flux here, especially with how they maybe treat Blake Bortles. Is Bortles still going to be the plan? Did it do enough? I think it's going to depend on the playoffs. If they're able to win a game or two here and Bortles plays well, then he has a good chance to return here with these guys. But there could be some transition there. I expect the running game to be Fournette-centered as well. Defense, I mean, what can you say? This was a stud in itself. It was like a QB1, the way it produced week after week. Even scored. The team struggled as a whole, but scored against the Titans. So that was kind of the capper to a brilliant season. If you had the Jaguars defense, you were in contention in all your leagues for sure. That's how much of a force they were. And, with the young guys settled and the older guys under big contracts, I think the Jags will remain a force. That side of the ball would easily be a pick that goes pretty high. I think you can see them go in the 7th or 8th round. I think they're worth that for sure with how much production they gave you this season. Our other game in the AFC South, and it was the Texans. Cole, we'll get to that in a minute. With the Titans, we look at them. They got to turn the backfield over to Derrick Henry. They're continuing on the playoffs to play against the Chiefs. But DeMarco Murray, I think he's going to be done. He had the knee injury. We'll see if he plays this week. But Derrick Henry is going to own this backfield because I don't think they're going to keep Murray at all. He's too old. He's got too much volume. They've got Henry sitting there. So I expect him to be the difference. And we'll see Corey Davis. I think bad rookie year, got hurt by injuries early with the hamstring especially. I think Corey Davis can still be a factor here. So you look at Henry and Davis, I think you'll see some changing the guard. Well, you'll actually see the Titans unleash their younger players next season. For the Texans, we look at Deshaun Watson. We're going to be watching him carefully. He really holds the whole key to everything else in this offense. We saw it totally tank, except for DeAndre Hopkins. He did his best, kept producing until the calf injury kept him out of week 17 there in Indianapolis in a very meaningless game. So we'll see. But Watson, for now, we expect him to be on track to return. He'll be right there close for week 1 with the recovery timetable. But Watson definitely holds the keys. He makes Hopkins an easy, maybe potential first-round pick, easily there. And then Will Fuller being a lot more relevant as well as a wide receiver, too. There, and Lamar Miller, it's going to help him in the running game. We'll have to see Lamar Miller versus Alfred Blue. Blue did have the charge late. So that backfield is going to be interesting to watch going forward. But really the key of this offense is Watson coming back healthy. And we can't just see more of T.J. Yates or Tom Savage. It's going to be the same brutal ending that we saw to the season. The Colts, we look at them. I think Frank Gore, we'll see if he plugs along for another year, but Marlon Mack, we'll watch that Gore-Mack battle in that backfield. T.Y. Hilton, I think a lot of his value is going to be dependent on Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck comes back, there's a big if with that, with the shoulder and all that, but he clearly missed Andrew Luck and the chemistry and pushing it downfield often, so we'll see if that happens. Jack Doyle, I think, is going to be productive no matter who the quarterback is, just a very sure-handed, solid tight end all season long for Jacoby Brissett. So I think he's going to be a guy. They're going to have to find a number two here. Dante Moncrief was not effective and hurt. Chester Rogers really didn't work in the slot at all. So the Colts really need to find a legitimate number two receiver that isn't a deep threat or slot guy that Hilton is, but just a solid guy to put outside, because Moncrief certainly isn't that guy anymore. We move on to the AFC West. We had the Chiefs and Broncos playing a meaningless game there. The Chiefs arrested everyone, but we saw flashes of Patrick Mahomes being very special. Kareem Hunt just showed that he's going to be a big part of his second season as well. This team's going to obviously advance the playoffs, but we'll see what happens. Maybe they lose Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator, but I still expect this offense to go very heavy Hunt next season with Travis Kelce being a big factor and Tyreek Hill being a big factor. So I don't think they're going to mess with that formula too much. The Chiefs are pretty steady here with Andy Reid. So they're going to look at those three guys. I think it'll be nice if they could get a second threat that's consistent there, whether it's DeMarcus Robinson or Albert Wilson. But we've seen in the past, they like to kind of look at Kelce and Hill as their guys, and Hunt as well as a big factor. So this is pretty much a three-hands offense, so that's going to be good for fantasy next season. But Mahomes, we're keeping an eye on him there. Whenever Alex Smith hangs it up, I think you could see Mahomes having a very bright future, and they could open up the offense, add some receivers to help him. With the Broncos, Paxton Lynch really didn't play well here, and I don't expect him to be the option at quarterback, so they're going to have to do some rebooting. Demaryius Thomas is still clearly a number one type receiver, gets it done with anyone in there. Emmanuel Sanders, we'll have to see. He's getting older, had the ankle that really messed up his season this year, but Demaryius Thomas is trustworthy. C.J. Anderson proved himself as being worthy of being a feature back with whoever's in their quarterback next year. So Jamaal Charles, I think he's pretty much done there with the Broncos in his career. So he's out of the mix. Anderson definitely held off Devontae Booker here for the most part. So we'll see an Anderson-Booker battle, but I expect Anderson to still win that, Thomas to still be effective with whoever's a quarterback next year. And Sanders really depends on the quarterback and his health, if he's going to be a bigger factor. We also had the Chargers and the Raiders, and the Chargers pretty much ran over this game here with Melvin Gordon. You had a big plays from Keenan Allen and Philip Rivers. So this nucleus is going to be in place for a while. I think Rivers isn't going anywhere. He loves the game too much, playing too well right now to hang it up. So you got Rivers, Allen, Gordon as your principals. Hunter Henry, what a big season he had as well, as they trust him here down the stretch. So good offensive firepower here for the Chargers going forward. I think Gordon is going to be solid RB1 for you. I think Henry is going to be a consistent TE1, and Keenan Allen came on strong there to emerge as a wide receiver one again and stayed healthy for most of the season, which is fantastic as well for Gordon and him. So good things for the Chargers coming up in 18. Anthony Lynn's first season, even though it didn't end in the playoffs, even though they started 0-4, disappointing 9-7, in terms of offense, you had to love what they did here down the stretch. The Raiders, remember, the John Gruden rumors are out there. No Jack Del Rio. They had a brutal offensive year with Todd Downing there as a coordinator over Bill Musgrave. Derek Carr really struggled. So things could totally flip for here for the Raiders. I don't think you can read too much into it. Amari Cooper is going to be back as a receiver, hopefully rebounding from a terrible season, riddled by injuries. Michael Crabtree looks like he's out. However, they're going to have to find a number two receiver. Jared Cook, we'll have to see if they want him to be the primary tight end. So everything could change into Gruden. They want Derek Carr to be successful. I think the one thing that actually worked here for the Raiders was Marshawn Lynch. He kind of had a slow start, but really came on strong there to be their most consistent source of offense with high volume there down the stretch. So we'll see if Lynch comes back or wants to come back. So a lot of things could be blown up in the Raiders offense, and I think you have to just be wary of that as we go into 2018, as we wait to see if Gruden does indeed become the new head coach. Now we go to the NFC here, and you have the Eagles and Cowboys. They ended up in a meaningless game. The Eagles are going to be waiting around for the divisional playoffs as the number one seed in the playoffs here. But you look at the Eagles, takeaway is Carson Wentz. Hopefully he comes back healthy and has the keys to his offense. They did really look the same only for a little bit with Nick Foles. So Wentz is definitely a key. We'll see his recovery here. But I think JHI will be a bigger factor next year with a full season, full offseason to be in this offense and really kind of become the bell cow. I think you'll see more of Corey Clement, maybe LeGarrette Blount. They move on from him. Alshon Jeffrey has been re-signed and locked in, so he's going to be there with Wentz for a while. Nelson Aguilar, they love as well. Zach Ertz, all these core players, I would expect the Eagles not to shake up too much, assuming that Wentz and his timetable doesn't get thrown off too much, and he can be ready for week one as well with his ACL. On the Cowboys side of things, Dak Prescott wasn't as bad as you'd think, but they need to get some weapons around him. Dez Bryant has been wishy-washy. He's worth a lot to them in terms of money. I don't know if he's worth as much in production anymore, so we'll have to see if they change things up there. But they need another receiver, more weapons, really need a couple here. Cole Beasley did his best as slot, and I think he could still be valuable. Maybe they'll switch to Ryan Switzer a little bit more in that role. They need to find someone other than Bryce Butler or Terrence Williams to really be a compliment there. Jason Witten, I expect, will plug along, but you never know with his decisions. They might have to look for a tight end as well. So a lot of things in flux for Prescott, but we know if Ezekiel Elliott comes back, he's going to be a stud here to help Prescott as well in his production. But Elliott should be well-rested and very ready to produce after the six-game layoff. He did come back for the final two games, but overall, I think that's going to help him be fresher for 2018. So expect you just plug him in, go back as a high pick there in the first round, right there with Le'Veon Bell. The Redskins and Giants closed out. We'll have to see what happens with the Redskins and Kirk Cousins. You could see a quarterback change there. Same thing with Eli Manning. And the Giants, it's going to be a lot of interesting things to see. I think with the Giants, I think you look at Sterling Shepard, hopefully Odell Beckham Jr. comes back healthy there as well. So you look at those two guys and Evan Ingram being a pretty good core for the quarterback is they got to find a running back. Orleans Darkwood, really, they squeezed everything out of him. He's just a limited back overall. But when you look at the Paul Perkins, Shane Vereen, Wayne Gallman type mess, they need to find a consistent bell cow here that's versatile that they can put out there and play more like the football we're used to with the Giants. And with Dave Gettleman there, he knows the importance of the running game from Carolina and having a good one-two punch there. And I think you'll find a power back that the Giants are going to trust as a priority here in either free agency, more likely in the draft here for the Giants. But the quarterback, if Eli returns, not bad situation. Maybe if they can do some things in the offensive line, upgrade there a little bit. You do have Beckham, Shepard, and Ingram, so pretty good baseline for Eli next season. But we could also see them turn the page more to Davis Webb. So a lot of things in flux there, and especially with the high pick, they could also look to draft Manning's successor straight up and create a little bit of a competition there as well. So all kinds of things in flux with the Giants. The Redskins, Kirk Cousins returns, then you feel a lot better about a lot of things. Josh Doctson, Jameson Crowder, especially I don't expect Terrell Pryor to be back here, but Doctson and Crowder are going to be the main guys. Jordan Reed, we'll have to see. His health has just not been reliable. Vernon Davis, we'll see if he wants to keep playing there as well. So a lot of things, but I would expect Samaj Perine and Rob Kelly to battle out for the feature duties. Perine had an up-and-down year, came on strong late, but got hurt and himself. And so there are a lot of negatives and positives for Perine versus Kelly. So Chris Thompson, we'll see if he can come back and be effective as well. But again, the keys to this offense are Cousins, and things are a little bit up in the air with his return. We flip now to the NFC North. We saw the Vikings beat up on the Bears. They're going to be in the playoffs as the number two seed, so still got something to write. The story here was Adam Thielen breaking out. He did cool off in the end, really, as they kind of just were careful and knew they had the seed locked up. They didn't really take as many chances, but Thielen and Stephon Diggs really were a great thing there. Thielen, for most of the season, he was very productive as a wide receiver one, and Diggs really emerged there late as a wide receiver two there with the production. So we probably thought Diggs was the number one, Thielen was the number two there as a wide receiver three, but it kind of flipped its head, and we'll see if Case Keenum returns, because remember, the chemistry and all that is important. Pat Shurmur as well, rumored to have some head coaching chances there. So there could be a bit of a change in the Vikings offense and the way things are structured, but Diggs and Thielen Rudolph, you expect to be big factors there for whoever's quarterbacking this team in 2017 or in 18. And I don't expect it to be either Teddy Bridgewater or Sam Bradford either. So Keenum looks like a very priority re-sign here at this point, given the options are not good for the other two guys with their knee injury issues. So if that's good, then you're going to be knowing more what to expect here. And Dalvin Cook. Remember, Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon did an admirable job. But remember how good Cook was early in the season. So we'll have to see if Cook comes back to full speed. And Murray and McKinnon ended up being pretty valuable there. The Murray signing turned out to be a blessing here because of Cook going down so early. We thought that Cook was going to dominate this backfield, but they ended up needing Murray a lot. So we'll have to watch the Cook-Murray situation, but I expect Cook, as we saw the versatility of him as a bell cow, I think he's going to be a guy that a lot of people are going to be off of because of the injury, but I think he could easily have RB1 season, which he was off too early. When you look at the Bears, I think Mitchell Trubisky, there's no more John Fox. He's fired here, so we're going to see who takes over here. Maybe you'll have a Jared Goff-like situation here with the next offensive coordinator and coaching staff overall for the Bears. We'll see if Cameron Meredith comes back or Kevin White, but they're going to have to look at some other receivers anyway. I think Adam Shaheen is a keeper tight end. Obviously, Jordan Howard is their bell cow back, so those things are going to be in place here as their young nucleus unfolds here, but I think they need to go get maybe one veteran receiver and one rookie receiver of note in the high round here to help Trubisky. And we saw the overhaul with the Rams. They went out and got three new receivers. It was a big difference there. We saw the impact of McVay on Todd Gurley as well. So Jordan Howard could have that new coordinator. So this offense could be much improved here in 2018. And I think that's where the Bears are really going to focus their coaching search. Our next game that we've ended up on, the Packers-Lions. The Packers were a shell of their team. Not only was it Brett Hundley starting, there was no Aaron Jones, there was no Davante Adams, there's no Jordy Nelson. So not the team that he expected. So I think you have to do a reboot. I think with Aaron Rodgers, you have to assume that he's going to come back fully healthy here and be the guy here. So that's going to help Adams, who's locked and loaded with a new contract. And Nelson is going to be much better as well. And remember, Nelson's getting a little older. So I think Adams is really the top wide receiver in fantasy from this team going forward. I don't think it was just no Rodgers there for Nelson. I think there were some signs that he's a speedy guy, and he slowed down a little bit here as he got a little older. There were definitely some signs of that. Get to 30 as a wide receiver, you're going to look that way. So Adams is definitely locked in there. I think we'll have to see this Jamal Williams versus Aaron Jones. I don't know if Ty Montgomery, if they can trust him again. Maybe they'll use him back as a slot receiver or whatever. But Randall Cobb versus Montgomery could be an interesting battle, but I expect Jamal Williams would have the inside track right now over Aaron Jones in this backfield, but we'll have to see. Battle of these two are rookies promising in this backfield, but the fantasy prospects of the Packers are going to be a lot better with Rodgers for sure, as we know that from previous years. Now, on the other side of things, the Lions, I don't think you're going to see too much shakeup. I know Jim Caldwell is gone, but they're trying to keep Jim Popgooter as the offensive coordinator. Maybe he could be gone for coaching things there. But Matthew Stafford, they need to keep things as much a status quo for him as possible, at least in the passing game. Marvin Jones Jr. was solid. Golden Tate the third was very active as well for this team. And Eric Ebron came on strong. So you have a pretty good group there that you can trust, as well as Kenny Golladay in a three receiver set. So we don't want much to change for Stafford, especially with the way Ebron and Golladay made some plays down the stretch there. So that should be mostly intact for this offense. The running game, that's the thing we're going to be focused on. We'd like them to have some kind of reliable feature back, not just Theo Riddick occasionally in a PPR. Riddick, by the way, faded as well as Amir Abdullah this year pretty hard. So Teon Green, we don't know if he's going to be the answer, but clearly Zach Zenner and Dwayne Washington weren't really into this mix too much. So backfield in flux, they couldn't easily move on from Abdullah. Riddick is just a third down type guy, so they need a legitimate back. Maybe Green will get a chance to compete for that job. But Lions backfield, I don't see it majorly improving, but you look at this passing game, I think it'll be intact, even with no Caldwell in there. We go to the NFC South, and you look at the Panthers and Falcons. They're both going to the playoffs, as well as the Saints. And with the Panthers, Cam Newton really struggled here down the stretch. He's so up and down, inconsistent in fantasy. That's why he's a borderline more QB1 for me. I think he's a back-end QB1. I think the running production makes him there, but maybe they'll go out and get some extra receiving help for him. Clearly they missed Ted Ginn, Russell Shepard, and Demir Byrd had their moments, but Devin Funchess did come on strong as a number one, so that worked out. And moving away from Kelvin Benjamin, Christian McCaffrey was a good part of the offense. But I think now they have know how Funchess can be operated as a number one. McCaffrey is a receiver of the backfield. I expect the Panthers to be better with Newton next year, especially with Greg Olsen coming back healthy with the foot injury late. So it was a bit of an up and down year for Newton, but I think it could steady a little bit with some help next year. And you look at his backfield, McCaffrey, I think Stewart did a little bit more than we expected this year for sure, especially with power running, but it's still in the McCaffrey backfield going forward, and I think he can be a very special player. And I think he's an RB1 in PPR leagues. He's an RB2 there in standard leagues, and I don't think that'll change much there in 18. On the Falcons side of things, we saw Mohamed Sanu make some more plays, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan. It was a bit of an off year. We'll see if they stick with Steve Sarkisian. Again, I'm thinking it comes down to the playoffs and how well they are effective there with Sark as their coordinator. So it was just a transition year. The running backs also struggled a little bit. Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman, they weren't used as effectively as they were. Kyle Shanahan, the mix was a little bit off. The production was a little bit off. The injuries were also a factor, especially concussions there for both backs. So bit of a tough year overall for the Falcons offense. Big drop off. So a lot of things could change there, especially with Sark. But I expect Matt Ryan, as you've seen, he's been through a lot of systems for a consistently good quarterback over the years, where he does struggle in the first year of a system. So we expect the Falcons offense to be a lot crisper overall if Sark does stay there. In some ways, it's better for Sark to stay there instead of them rebooting with another system here, because that's yet another transition season for Ryan. We look at the other game. The Buccaneers upset the Saints here. The Saints are still able to win the division because they'd swept the Panthers and split with the Falcons here. So They still won the division. The Saints, we know what we've taken away from them. The Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara show, it's real spectacular. This is the heartbeat of the team right now. That'll be the case in the playoffs as well going forward. And then you had Michael Thomas be steady as a number one. He wasn't spectacular, but very strong, especially in PPR leagues. Very consistent wide receiver in this offense. And he did struggle a little bit more, getting a little bit more attention with no Brandon Cooks in there. But he still came through. Was always a consistent red zone threat. Didn't score as much as he did last year, but I think he's still a very solid guy that he's going to be a good fantasy producer for many years to come. Where you know what you're going to get every week. You're going to get 60. You're going to have a good floor of 6 to 8 catches, somewhere around 80 and 100 yards, and a chance for a score every single game. So you love that consistency. And Drew Brees, as long as this team is running so well and playing better defense, you're not going to see Drew Brees put up the big numbers you saw in the past. So keep in mind, Drew Brees didn't really drop off and play. They just scored so many times with Kamara and Ingram. It was just easier to turn off the pedal here with Brees. So, especially with the not many red zone threats behind Thomas in this passing game. So, no tight end of note there. I mean, moving in guys like Illinois Mike and Josh Hill and Kobe Fleener, who future is uncertain with this team. So, that's where you look at this team. It really, Drew Brees' value in touchdowns is long ones to Brandon Coleman and Ted Ginn. And so I don't think that'll change too much as they found a good formula here in 2017. They'll keep it in 2018. For the Bucs, Dirk Cutter staying there, which is good news for Jameis Winston. He played really well down the stretch. Mike Evans started playing better as well. This team with O.J. Howard has a lot of upside. So this Buccaneers team, like we say it every year, but offensively they have a ton of upside. I think the big question is here, who do they have as their main man in the backfield? Peyton Barber, I would expect, has the inside track over Doug Martin, even though Martin got the extension there. Barber just played better. And we know that Dirk Cutter's had a hot and cold relationship, mostly cold with Martin. So I expect some big things from the Bucs offense. I like the way they finished the season, and I think that's exactly why they kept Cutter. Now, you want to keep up with all the coaching changes. We know the Buccaneers won't have one here in 2018, but a ton of teams are. We know the Colts and Lions and Bears, Cardinals, Raiders. So many teams looking for new coaches here in 2018. So the only way is to listen to your show there, whether it's Locked On Colts to keep track of their search, Locked On Raiders to know if John Gruden is definitely going to come, Locked On Bears, Locked On Cardinals. These are ways that you can keep up with your team throughout the offseason. That goes with any team show on the Locked On Network. Love to be a part of it, and love that we're keeping you going throughout the offseason, and we never stop talking about the favorite teams in the NFL, your favorite teams. It's like getting your beat report all throughout the offseason, every day. You really can't beat it listening to the Locked On Network. Now let's close with the NFC West. We only have one playoff team. That's the Rams. We've had multiple entries before, but the Rams continue on, and they rested all their guys against the 49ers, but this offense, Jared Goff, we're going to look at as a QB1. Todd Gurley is probably going to be competing there with Le'Veon Bell and Ezekiel Elliott. I think right now Gurley is probably the inside track to be the number one overall pick. They're in fantasy in 2018. Sean McVay and this offense, they're not going anywhere. He's 31. First season coach of the year coming here for McVay. And Robert Woods can be very valuable there as a wide receiver. Two, I think Cooper Kupp has that value going forward. I think Sammy Watkins was all totally off the radar. Now he's a wide receiver three, big play threat here in terms of fantasy football. So I think the tight ends are only going to get more involved here as they figure out Gerald Everett and what he can do. Tyler Higbee, clearly just a blocker, not capable of being a big part of this receiving core, but Everett definitely has some Jordan Reed-like capabilities. So that's good news for Goff. It's good news for Everett. I think that's going to help the wide receivers even more here as well. So Goff and Gurley, I think you're going to see a lot of teams not going to be afraid to have that share of the Rams offense. And what a great turnaround there for this offense. It was totally awful a season ago. Now it's extremely explosive and very attractive to fantasy going forward for several years. And the best thing about it is, yep, both of these guys are super young, so you're going to get a lot of production from Gurley and Goff going forward for several years, as long as they keep as much of this intact and the offense around it. And McVay, we assume, is not going to go anywhere, and I think he could be there for a long, long time for sure, and that's great news, that kind of stability for fantasy when you've already seen that kind of production. And 49ers, same thing with Kyle Shanahan. I think him and Jimmy Garoppolo, well, it's a franchise tag. I would expect it's more of a lucrative long-term extension signed here with Garoppolo. But you're going to have Pierre Garçon. We'll see if he returns here. They might go out and get another receiver, but they like Marquise Goodwin as the deep threat here. Trent Taylor as a good slot guy. Obviously, they like what Garrett Celek and George Kittle can do at tight end. Kyle Juszczyk is that versatile fullback. So they're just scratching the surface here. So Jimmy Garoppolo's locked in. I think he could be a QB1 easily for Shanahan with what he's already shown. They advanced to 6-10 in the season. Incredible story when they were lost and winless. Pick up Garoppolo, just totally going on this winning streak, win 5 games to end the season. So I expect this momentum to continue for Garoppolo. I think the biggest question is, what are they going to do in the backfield? You have Joe Williams back, healthy, fully healthy, the rookie that they had high hopes for. You had Matt Breida do some things as a rookie. So was that going to make Carlos Hyde expendable, or are they going to bring in another back in this mix? Was Shanahan as happy with Williams and Breida? There's a lot of things in flux here, especially with Hyde in free agency. So that's one thing we're going to watch with particular interest. But Garoppolo, if you have Garçon back and Goodwin, they definitely have value. Garoppolo definitely is a QB1. So a lot of things to get excited about this 49ers offense. They're going to be hot sleepers all across the board everywhere you look here because of Shanahan. So keep that in mind. But Garoppolo changed the whole outlook. We had a completely different outlook about 6 or 7 weeks ago about this 49ers offense. But the upside is just incredible now for them in 2018. And our final game there, the Cardinals actually dispatched the Seahawks in the final game for Bruce Arians in Seattle. So Seattle didn't even have a chance. Atlanta won anyway, but Seattle falls to 9-7, very close. The Cardinals finished at 8-8, so it was a very close season there overall for these two teams. But the Cardinals, no Carson Palmer. He announced his retirement. Larry Fitzgerald, his decision to maybe retire is tied to the next head coach. So we'll have to see what happens there with Fitzgerald. And they have to go maybe offensive-minded, have a good quarterback plan in place for Fitzgerald to want to come back. Otherwise, he's going to see a team in transition that isn't going to win here big in a while, especially with the Rams and 49ers coming on strong, and could easily hang it up there. So it could be in flux. We'll see how David Johnson returns, but he'd probably be the centerpiece of this offense. Kerwin Williams, DJ Foster, Adrian Peterson, Elijah Penny. That just makes you appreciate how good David Johnson was. So he'll be in the competition there for that number one overall pick. I think Gurley's probably the safest, probably followed by Bell and then Elliott. But I would expect Johnson to be in the mix for number four overall coming back from that injury. Everything else, though, with the quarterback change and maybe Fitz hanging it up in the passing game, things could totally blow up, especially with Arians not there. So I think the one thing from the new coaching staff, Johnson is going to be the centerpiece. He's too dynamic of a player all around not to be that guy. And I think they'll incorporate that and know that in their next head coach, that he'll be guaranteed to take advantage of Johnson's strengths. And you look at the Seahawks, Russell Wilson had an incredible season, tried to keep things afloat here. Number one QB up there in fantasy in terms of being there wire to wire. Wentz was right up there with him, but it was in the end Wilson that was there durable for all the year, very productive as a runner and passer for this team. So what a season for Wilson. Yeah, I think he can only get better as the Seahawks defense is actually going to be worse. Potentially exits there with Michael Bennett, maybe Cliff Averill and Cam Chancellor have a tough time coming back. Richard Sherman is getting older, even with that injury with the Achilles. So you could see the Seahawks struggle more defensively. That's only going to raise Wilson's ability to produce. I think they'll find some kind of answer in the backfield, hopefully. I mean, they tried everyone here, but Chris Carson does have some promise of being an answer there. That's why they held out hope he was coming back for the playoffs, because they saw what Mike Davis did. They saw what Chiyo Procise can do. They saw Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy fade. So Carson could give the Seahawks offense some good life here as a good all-around back. I think they were the best when he was out there. So they're going to hold out hope right now that he's a leader in this battle. Maybe they'll go get someone to compete with him that's legitimate as well. So Wilson, I expect with the Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham. Graham's getting a little older, but still a good red zone threat. Baldwin is just reliable. With Paul Richardson and Tyler Lockett maybe getting better and better, that this team's going to have to put the ball up a lot with their defensive woes, and I think that's going to be good for Wilson going forward. He's ultra durable. I think he's going to be pretty high as your QB one of choice there because of the situation in Seattle. So there you have it. There's your last roundup show. It's a roundup Wednesday. Takeaways from the final games at every team in the 2017 season. As we put a book on it, go forward to 2018. You got to look at the past to know what you can improve on in the future. And that's what we do with the roundup shows throughout the season. And we can't wait to do Roundup Monday for week one in 2018 already. So before then, we'll have you covered with all the biggest off-season developments. We'll go team by team and see what their needs are, all that. We'll get more specific on all that. There's plenty of time to do that. But here in Locked On Fantasy, we will stay with you throughout the off-season with everything you need to know about fantasy developments that you got to do in the advanced scouting now, and we'll be there for you. But we'll also be there for the playoffs. We'll look out for those shows. Again, you can follow me on sportingnews.com. Follow me on Twitter at Vinny Iyer. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow there for Matchup Thursday, breaking up all the games.